Good morning to you all. We're in the midst of a series. We're looking at how the Psalms speak to some of the times of our life, the issues that we encounter in our life. Today I want us to consider a theme touched on in several places in the Psalms. In fact, touched on in many more places than we will look at today, as well as a theme that's touched on in other scriptures. What I want you to think about, I want you to think about night. Not night simply as a physical reality, but I want you to think about night as representative of how life can be at times. Think about night representative as how our experience is at times. Because in life, in our experience, there can be times of darkness. I want you to think about that. Those times that are characterized by sorrow, by difficulty, times marked by fear, confusion, times of uncertainty, times when there are unknowns, when there's doubts, when there's loneliness. A passage in the scripture that illustrates very well the theme that I want us to think about this morning is a scene from Jesus' betrayal. As the Apostle John tells the story in his gospel, the disciples and Jesus have gathered for the Passover meal, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and they've partaken together of the meal. And then Jesus becomes troubled in his spirit. And he tells the disciples that one of you will betray me. And the disciples start wondering who it is that would betray him. And they start asking the Lord, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" So Jesus then identifies his betrayer by taking a morsel, by dipping it in wine, and setting it in front of the one who would betray him. And when Jesus does that, we read these words after the morsel. So Jesus has dipped it and laid it in front of Judas. Satan then entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. So having been identified by that morsel, Satan enters into Judas. And Jesus says to Judas, "What you're going to do, do it quickly." And immediately, Judas goes out. But then this memorable phrase, "And it was night." Not only was it night in a physical sense, but it was a time of spiritual darkness. Time of sorrow. There's evil afoot. There's great difficulty and affliction at hand. Gethsemane is minutes away. There's loneliness. There's heartache. There's questions. There's doubts. And it was night. I want you to consider those times in your own life. Those times in your own experience when you might say, "And it was night." You're in the dark. There are some things that are keeping you up at night. Some sorrow, some troubles that are occupying you. That sorrow and that trouble is just closing in around you. It's dark. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us in chapter 11 of this. "If a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many." We are to rejoice in life, but we are to remember that the days of darkness, they will be many. The times that we're talking about today are not uncommon, to the human species. Most of us have lived long enough to know that life has a way of turning out wrong at times. So I want you to think about, I want you to consider this morning, what happens to you in those times of darkness, What happens to you when night closes in around you? How do you do during the watches of the night? Occasionally, we ourselves, or perhaps we hear someone make fun of or make light of what we might call fire truck religion. We make kind of light of that person who accepted Christ because they were scared of the fires of hell. Maybe some of us accepted Christ, you know, along that way. You heard the hell and fire brimstone sermon, kind of like you got scared. And I want that fire truck Jesus. There are some who pray only when the house is on fire. You know, any time they're concerned about God is when the house is burning down. Then they become interested. It's that idea that there's no atheists in foxholes type of thing. But sometimes I think more pressing for us than fire truck religion is daytime religion. That we're often interested in religion, we're often interested in Jesus, as long as he helps life go smooth, as long as he makes life bright, as long as he makes your path well lit. We like religion that causes the sun to shine all of the time. You know, we like a religion, we like a Savior, you know, who dispels all the hardship, who banishes all the sorrow, you know, who solves all the problems. We like a religion that makes us warm, that makes things around us well lit and clear, that makes for bright day. We like daytime religion. You know, we want a religion that makes us sing by making the sun come out and shine upon us. But let the day and let the shining of the sun turn to night, turn to darkness, and there are many who lose their way. They lose all their songs. Their faith crumbles. Their relationships stumble. Their understanding falters because they're in the night. I'm very concerned about how we do in the night. I'm concerned about those who stumble and falter and wander when it gets dark. Here's the main point for today. I'm going to try to make it from the book of Job. The book of Job is the story of a righteous man, a very righteous man, a righteous man for whom all is going well. His kids are doing well. His business ventures are going well. His health is great. Righteousness for him was resulting in glorious days. I mean, the sun is shining on Job. But then God permits the enemy to ruin Job's glorious days and turn his life into dark night. The majority of the book is a discussion between Job and three of his friends over what has happened as his days have been turned into darkness. The three friends throughout the book keep saying something like this. You know, Job, you have some sin in your life somewhere, some unconfessed sin, some unrepented of sin, and that sin is turning your day into night. But if you'll repent of that sin, the night will turn back into day, just like it was before. And when the day returns, you'll be able to sing again. You'll have lots of songs. So the three friends keep saying that to Job. Job, the night has come because you've sinned. But if you'll confess your sin, whatever it may be, the night will turn back into day, and then you'll be able to sing again. Job, on the other side, in debate with his friends, keeps saying, I'm righteous. I have not sinned. So I do not deserve the night. I do not deserve darkness. In fact, if I could plead my case before God, he would see that I'm right, and the night would go away. So I'm not going to sing until God makes it day again, because I don't deserve the night. And it goes back and forth between Job and his three friends that way. After a lot of debate, a lot of chapters, finally a fourth guy appears. His name is Elihu. Elihu is mad at the friends because he feels that they have not answered Job, and yet they have condemned him. So he's mad at the friends for what they've said. But he's also mad at Job for what Job has said, because he feels that Job has justified himself more than God or above God. So then Elihu makes a long speech about what he thinks should be said about Job's situation. And Elihu's speech then is going to give way to the Lord himself coming and speaking to Job. Speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. And the book closes with God speaking to Job out of the whirlwind. But Elihu, in his speech, says, you friends, you're saying that if Job would just confess his sin, the night would go away, day would come, and then you could sing again. Job, you keep saying that you're not going to sing because you don't deserve the night, because you're righteous. And so I'm not going to sing because I don't deserve this. So the friends are saying one thing, Job is saying another, but Elihu's claim is that nobody is saying what should be said about the situation. And what should be said is this, taken from Job 35. Elihu says, no one says, not Job or his friends, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? Elihu's claim is that the issue is not one of eliminating the night in order to get reason to sing. The issue is not kind of like there's sin. If you would get rid of the sin, you'd get rid of the night, and then you would be able to sing again. Elihu also says the issue is not eliminating the songs because you've encountered darkness. No, I'm not going to sing because it's too dark out. Elihu says that what the issue is letting God give you songs in the night. Elihu says the right picture of the situation is this. It's not one of God always turning the night into day. God does do that sometimes. It's very great when he does that. But the picture is not always one of God always turning the night into day and thereby giving you a song. You know, God coming in, dispelling the darkness, eliminating the shadows, causing you to sing because the night is gone, because the night is over. Elihu says the right picture is not one of the night eliminating all of the songs, because it's dark, it's too dark to sing, so we're not going to sing. And when it's night, I have nothing to sing about. So the night eliminates all the songs. Elihu says that's not the right picture. He says the right picture is this. Knowing a God, knowing a creator, a maker, who gives songs in the night. The choice is not neither no songs or no night. If you have night, you don't have songs. If you have songs, you don't have night. They like exclude each other. He says that's not the right picture. The issue is being given by God your maker songs in the night. There are many for whom life has plenty of songs as long as it's day. They sing fine as long as life is bright, as long as life is cheery, as long as it's a lot of things visible, as long as it's warm. But when the day turns to night and the darkness closes in around and the loneliness comes and the sorrows press in and the doubts arrive, then those people, they lose all their songs. They lose all reasons to sing. They lose all ability to sing. And their perspective becomes that until the day comes again, I won't have any songs to sing. Until the day dawns again, until the morning comes, I won't have any songs at all to sing. This morning, I very much want you to know that when in your life, when in your experience, night comes, when you're in darkness, when you're in the shadows, you can't see much, you can't see very far, There are things, like Dr. Seuss says, going bump in the night for you. I want you to know that when you're there in the darkness, in the night, that you have a God, that you have a Maker who gives songs in the night. Now, my purpose this morning, I'm not trying to turn any day that you might have into night. I'm not trying to precipitate any darkness. You know, in your experience, I'm not trying to make it difficult. I'm not trying to give you any sorrow or cause some uncertainty in your life. And if you have blazing sunshine right now in your life, I rejoice with you. All of us rejoice with you. Yeah, I mean, if your life right now is bright day, rejoice in it. But I know that times of darkness do come and will come. Sometimes they come from circumstances where you experience a loss. You know, some disappointment coming your way is some setback. Sometimes darkness closes in around us from the enemy's opposition. The enemy seeks to harm you, to thwart you, to hinder you in some way. And it makes for dark days and dark journey. Sometimes times of darkness come from our own soul, because our own soul gets downcast, grows weary, becomes afraid, that you become burdened with some sorrow or some loss, some struggle. I actually suspect that you don't need me to assemble a list for you of things which land you in the dark of night. Could be the betrayal of a friend. Could be the loss of a loved one. Could be that unfavorable medical diagnosis, and here comes darkness. Could be something that's long-standing, a burden that you've carried for years. You know, some disappointment, some hope deferred, some heartache. And at times it's like a black hole, and it just draws you in and makes your life dark. Or it could be some trouble or sorrow that just got inaugurated this week. You picked up the phone and there was bad news. There's a new worry, a new disappointment. So I'm not trying to cause any night. But Ecclesiastes is right, the days of darkness, they will be many. And I'm concerned about how we do when the night comes. A couple of days ago, I was with a friend. He asked me what I would be speaking about this morning. So I gave the 30-second summary of what was on my mind and in my heart. I said, I'll be talking about songs in the night. I want to talk about how God does not always turn night into day and thereby give us a song, because He's turned the night into day. God doesn't always do that. Nor should it be that the night eliminates from our lives and our experience all the songs. I said, I want to talk about the God who gives songs in the night. And my friend said to me, kind of like, that reminds me of a saying that I heard once. And he said, this is the saying, that life is not so much about waiting for the storm to pass as it is about learning to dance in the rain. Now that definitely captures part of what I want to say to you this morning. If you wait for all the storms to pass before you dance, you won't dance much. And you'll miss out on a lot. It's good to learn how to dance in the rain. But dancing in the rain is only part of what I want to say. I want us to know, not only should you have some songs in the night, some songs that you can sing in that time of darkness, but you should have songs in the night because of God. Because of God, your Maker. You know, that you can have a song in the night, not because the night is not so dark for you, but because you realize that the night is not dark for your God. That's what can give you a song. That you start to realize that the darkness and the light are alike for God. They're not alike for you or for me, but they're alike for God our Maker. In Psalm 139, And we read these words, "If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You might not be able to see, but your God can see. You might be afraid. You might have lost your way. You might be overwhelmed, but your God is not afraid. He has not lost his way. He is not overwhelmed. And so you still have a song. You still have reason to sing." So I want to emphasize this morning that it's God our Maker who gives songs in the night. In Psalm 42, the psalmist says this, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night." So it's not about learning to whistle in the dark. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do. I'm not encouraging you to make up your own song. I'm encouraging you to be given a song by your God that you can sing during the watches of the night. Because the purpose of God, the plan of God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, none of those things are diminished. None of those things are ineffective because you're having dark days. It's a very good thing to rejoice. It's a very good thing to sing when the Lord causes it to be day in your life and in your experience. When your path is well lit, the fellowship is close and warm, when your heart is bright, to rejoice then, to sing, is appropriate and good. But when times of darkness come your way, God does not always rush in to banish the night. But you do need to know that the issues that assail you in the darkness, the issues that make it night for you, whatever those might be, the loneliness, the sorrow, the loss, the doubts, God is greater than those issues. Your God is greater than those issues. And He can give you His song to sing in the night. Sometimes to get that song, you need to remember Him. You need to remember who your God is and what He does. You need to remember your Maker. In Psalm 77, he says this, "You know, I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart." So we need to recall to our mind kind of things about our God in order to find that song in the dark place. About 3 weeks ago is when I chose the theme for this morning's message. I felt like the Lord put on my heart, as I thought about the Psalms, share something about that idea of night and of darkness, and that our God is one who gives songs in that darkness, in that night. But then, a week ago Friday, I got word that my sister's husband had died. So my brother-in-law. My sister is 2 years younger than me. They have two children, aged 10 and 11. She and her husband were both part of a very neat church and a significant ministry in Missouri. So this past Monday, I found myself on a plane to St. Louis to attend the funeral. Now, I haven't seen my sister in quite a few years, actually. So I haven't seen her for quite some time. And I had to rent a car there in St. Louis and drive a couple hundred miles to where they live, because they live out in the middle of nowhere in Missouri. And when I arrived there at their church, I arrived during the time of the viewing. That's just a time where friends and family can come and just greet the family, pay final respects. That's when I arrived there. So I get out of the car and walk into this auditorium, not having seen my sister for quite a while. And there in the auditorium, I see my sister. And I see her two kids, and they've grown some since I've seen them last. But then next to my sister, the open casket and in the casket, you know, the earthly body of her husband. And it was night. So we just walked across the room and we embraced and just held each other and wept. It's a time of darkness. You know, the loss there, the heartache, the unknowns, the unanswered questions, sorrow. It's a dark time. The next day, on Tuesday, this past week, was the funeral. Most of the church gathered for that funeral. Both my sister and her husband were involved with the worship team there. So there's going to be a time of worship there at the start of the service. My sister put together some thoughts that she wanted just the leader of the worship team to share. So the team got up there and the worship leader shared some thoughts that my sister had put together about her husband, John. And then we were led in just to a time of worship. And God, our Maker, gave us songs in the night. It was still night. The sorrow, the grief is still there. You know, the ache in my own heart on behalf of my sister and her kids is very great. But our God gave us songs to sing because of who He is. The night does not derail. The night didn't derail all of our songs. Didn't derail why we sing. So we're grieving as a family. But we're not grieving as those who have no hope. We're not grieving as those who have no songs to sing in a dark place. In my opinion, we were doing what we find in Psalm 134. Here are the first two verses of Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 134 is the final psalm in the Psalms of Ascent. 15 psalms in the Psalter that chronicle the pilgrimage of the people of God as they come from all parts of the land and pilgrimage and travel to Jerusalem to gather in the Lord's house. Psalm 134 is the last of those 15 psalms. So it's the final scene as people arrive in Jerusalem. And those people then gather at the Lord's house, at the temple. Notice that they gather at night. And the psalm says, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. These people have come and they're there at night in the darkness, but they lift up their hands and have a song to sing to their God. It's a very good thing. When it's night for you, when darkness closes in on you, that you can make your way to the house of the Lord. And you stand there in His house. You stand there in His presence. You stand there in the night. And you lift up your song, your hands, and He gives you songs to sing. And then this final note, though the days of darkness are many now, there is, of course, a time coming when the days of darkness will be over. In the final chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 22, as the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, that holy city that the guys were singing about, as old things pass away and new things come in all of their fullness, one of the things we read in that final chapter is this. There will no longer be any curse. It's a reversal of everything that happened at the fall. And there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them and they will reign forever and ever. So there's coming a time when the night will be truly over, never to return. But until that day, let his song be with you in the night. Let His song be with you when the darkness is close to you. Learn to say, where is God my Maker? who gives songs in the night. Let's pray together. Father, when you cause the sun to shine in our lives and in our experience, when the day is bright and the morning comes in all its glory and splendor and the sun shines in its strength, and Father, our path is well lit and things are clear, and Father, we thank you for those times. We rejoice in them. The light that comes from you, we desire it and we thrive in it. But Father, we also pray that when the night comes, when the darkness closes in around us and the sorrows and the doubts and the troubles assail us, Father, the fears grip us, the unknowns are many, Father, that in that dark place, we pray that we would not lose hold of yourself and of the songs that you give in the night. Father, I would pray for anyone here, any man, any woman, Father, who's just in a place of darkness this day. Perhaps a darkness long carried and from long born heartache or sorrow. Father, perhaps breaking news, some new trouble, some new worry. Father, I pray that you would be with her, that you would be with him, that they would know that you are a God. Father, greater than the night. That you are a God for whom the night is as day. Father, and give to him and give to her just a song to sing. While they stand there in your house, stand there in your presence with uplifted arms, may they serve you by night. Father, help us to be that kind of people. And we thank you for such great provision. Father, against that day when the night shall be no more, and we will reign with you forever and ever. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So stand and receive a blessing from the Lord. Just receive something from God your Maker, a blessing from him. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May he cause you in times of darkness to lift up your hands in his house and to bless his name. May his love, may the grace of his Son, may the fellowship of his Spirit give you songs in the night. For to him belong the glory and the honor and the power and the kingdom forever and ever. Amen.